Acts chapter 2. I've enjoyed this meeting. Brother Caldwell, this has been one of the best. And I appreciate it. I really do. I've been encouraged. I've been helped. And I appreciate it. I've found out how to preach, what to do when you don't have a message. You just get up here and cry. In fact, I've stumbled through a few, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I know how to do it. I know how to do it. Oh, my goodness. Brother Gwynn, that was good. You know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that amazing? I've heard these preachers say, I mean personally, I've heard them say on TV and on radio, get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost according to Acts chapter 2, and speaking in tongues according to Acts chapter 2. That's a big lie. Right. Now that tongue, that unknown tongue that they call it, that ain't what this is talking about here, folks. It said everyone heard him in his own language. Isn't that simple? I mean, why would anybody want to make a big deal and make something false out of something so plain? Yes, sir. Well, that's not my message. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? I'm going to skip those places and go to verse 11. Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? They were amazed at the wonderful works of God. And I want to just preach a few minutes on that today, how people respond to the wonderful works of God. And we see here, I think, the same thing today. We see how people respond to the works of God. In fact, there are some wonderful works of God going on today. I mean, I can look over this congregation here this afternoon, and I can see some wonderful works of God. I mean, I don't know your lives before you were saved, but I guarantee you there's some here today that God made a change in your life when he saved you. Brother Gary Gwynn told you a while ago, I mean, how he was. I got people in my church. I got a church full of people. I mean, that was sorry, low-down drug addicts, alcoholics, and God saved them by his grace. Hey, and they made a change in their life. Some of them are even deacons. Some of them are jailbirds. I'm telling you. But listen, God did a wonderful work in their life. Made a change in them. Yes, sir. Wonderful works of God. There's the wonderful works of God in a sinner, thank God. Well, how did they respond? I won't be long, I promise you. Some were amazed. It said in verse 12, and they were all amazed. When the wonderful works of God, when you preach the message, there's nothing on the face of this earth that's any greater for any preacher to preach than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything that's any greater than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Hey, The old man, I know you've heard this, maybe it was Spurgeon said this, they don't matter where you start preaching in the Bible, make sure you head straight to the cross.
Yeah.
And listen, folks, you can't go wrong in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some are amazed, all were amazed at the wonderful works of God. Well, I'm amazed at God's love. I'm amazed at God's love, how God could love sinners. For God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know some folks, I've seen some folks sorry, good for nothing, and it'd be hard for me to give one of my children for that person. But yet God's love, he loved them just as much as he did me. He loved them just as much as he did you. And I want to tell you, because of his love, I don't care how far down they've gone. I don't care how far out they've gone. I don't care how deep in sin they got. God loves that person. And God died to save that person. And if they'll turn and come to him, he'll save them by his grace. We were talking coming down this morning, how people treat God and how they make mock of God and how they talk about God and how they treat God. And I said, I wonder why God don't do what he did in the Old Testament times. And you know all the story, how the earth opened up and swallowed them and such things as that. It went straight to hell. I said, well, I guess I do know too. It's the grace of God. We are living today in the grace of God. And I'm glad living it. Hey, listen, I may have been in hell myself had it not been for the grace of God. Yes, sir. So the grace of God reaches out. It reaches up. It reaches down. I don't care how low a sinner may have gone. God's love and grace reaches down and pull that sinner up. Hey, for how far out they may have gone, God's grace reaches out. Hey, and saves that sinner. Thank God for that. Yes, sir. I'm amazed at God's grace. Hey, I'm amazed at God's goodness. God sure is good. God sure is good. I don't know anything else to say about God than he's good. He's been good to me. He's been good to my wife and me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to my children. He's good to my grandchildren. He's been good to my church. He's been good to my church family. Thank God for his goodness. The goodness of God. When I forget about him, he's still good.
Amen.
You know, old Job, I mentioned him last night. And he got to the place that he felt like God was going afar off. He couldn't find him. Where's God? Have you ever been there? I have a few times. And it seemed that heaven was brass. And I wondered, where's God? He don't seem to be hearing me when I pray. But I just want you to know he's still around. He hasn't forgot where we were and where we were. He's still good. Even in those days when it seems he's not hearing us, he's still good. And when God can take all things that happen in our life and work those things together for our good and his glory, he must be a good God. Then I'm amazed at God's long-suffering. His long-suffering. I know you've heard this, but I wonder how many in here got saved the first time God called you. We sang that song, the first song we sang. oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I was 12 years old. Mountain Springs Baptist Church at Piedmont. We had Bible school in the morning in those days. They had a spring down behind the church that someone had encased it in marble. Beautiful, beautiful place. Beautiful place. And on Friday we had a picnic down there. And no facilities in the church. No restrooms in the church. No water in the church. But at that picnic, I went back inside the church. To this day, I don't know why I went back in the church, except to get saved. And I started walking down that hall in the Sunday school department, and the pastor's wife was coming the other way. And she said, "Leon, are you saved?" I said, "No, ma'am. Do you want to be saved?" "Yes, I would." She took me under those little, I'll never forget, it's one of the little benches that they have for kids. And she showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. And I got saved that day at Bible school. Listen, and we rode with this man that picked us up. And back in those days, they didn't take you to the door. They dropped me and my brother off about a mile from the house. And we were walking down this old dirt road. And as a 12-year-old boy, I was singing, "Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away." Yes, sir. Well, there some will doubt. Some will be amazed, some will doubt. He said, "And were in doubt." They just wondered how that could happen. Some people doubt that Jesus' sacrifice was enough. I heard about this man, as far as I know, it's a true story. This preacher, someone asked him to go see a young man in the hospital. And he was a man that believed in doing penance and all that stuff to keep saved or whatever they do. And he said he went in and he gave that man that day, as simple as he could, the plan of salvation. And the young man didn't get saved that day, but two or three days later went back to see him. He walked in that room and had a smile on his face. He said, "Preacher, I just want you to know I got saved after you left the other day." And this is what he said: "I always knew that Jesus was necessary, but I never knew he was sufficient." I always knew it was necessary, but not sufficient. Yes, sir. So some doubt that his sacrifice is enough. Some think he ought to be baptized. Some think he ought to be a member of a church. And all those things, some doubt that Christ lived a sinless life. Some doubt an eternal hell. Some doubt the inspiration of the Bible. Some doubt that whosoever will can be saved. Yeah. I had a Sunday school teacher and a deacon. It's gone now, thank goodness. But he said in his Sunday school class, he said, "When Jesus died on the cross, he died for Jews only." And one of the men challenged him on it, and he said, "Read your Bible." And I made a statement that was a Calvinist doctrine, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He'd say, I've heard him say many a time, he said, "Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but..." And then he'd tell something that really seemed to be Calvinist. Well, it doesn't matter what he says or anyone else says. I believe it's for whosoever will. And I believe Jesus died on the cross. When he died for me as well as the Jew. Yes, sir. But you know, some won't even understand. "What meaneth this? What meaneth this?" they said in verse 12. You know, there's many things I don't understand. I don't understand our troubles. I said a while ago, God's good to us, and I enjoy the goodness of God. I enjoy His goodness every day. I mean, the good food that I enjoy. I mean, the air that I breathe and that I can, I don't hear well, but I can hear. I don't see well, but I can see. But I don't understand troubles. Some of the best people I know. There's a man in our church right now. He's 84 years old. I guarantee you, if he was in your church, you would think he was the finest man you'd ever met in your life. A fine man, a wonderful man. 2 years ago, he had to bury his wife, and he hadn't been the same since. But right now, he's at home with cancer that there's no treatment for it. Cancer all over his body, his pancreas, his liver. He went to the hospital. They ran the test and sent him home. And hospice is coming out to his house. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Only God does. Only God does.
That's right.
Only God does. And I don't try to understand. I don't understand our trials. And I don't understand why sinners wait so long to get saved. I just don't. I just don't. We got a young man in our church. He came several times. It's been a few years ago now, but he came several times to church, and he never got saved. One day, I looked up. Here he came down the aisle. He got saved. His mother had been coming with him some, and she never would come. We went to the camp meeting, the Pickens County camp meeting one night. And I looked down at the altar. And there she was, knelt in the altar. Brother Gary called me up there and said, "You might want to deal with that lady." And his mama got saved. And his mama got saved. And now then he teaches Sunday school, and they are faithful to church. Before he started coming to church, his family was in a wreck. And he's got a boy that's, what do you call it, that's his brain damaged from the wreck. So they can't come all the time because someone has to stay with him. I don't know if I ought to tell this or not, but she's a racing fan. I told it from a pulpit. I said, "I don't understand it." I said, they go 500 miles round and around and around, and wind up at the same place they started. Anyway, she told me last night, she said, "You see that man coming down the aisle right yonder?" She said, "That's his daddy's son." She said, "He used to be my son, but I don't claim him anymore." She said, "I was sitting in the car listening to the raise, and he cut it off and took the keys with him. And I don't claim him as my son anymore." Anyway, I'm just telling you, I don't understand why sinners don't get saved. I really don't. And then some mocked at him. They still do it today. Brother Gary telling down here about the man that stuck his tongue at him while he was preaching. They mock. You had them. They laugh at you. They make fun of you. They mock the word of God. They want to argue the word of God. They mock Christians. You see, the world wants us to do what they do. They say we, and them contemporary churches that you were talking about, we got some in our area. I got a CD, that preacher preached on alcohol. And this is what he said. I got a CD to prove it. He said a Christian has the liberty to drink alcohol if they so wish. That's the truth. But they say, "Well, now why? Why can't we just agree and to disagree and just get together and, you know, worship together and all that?" Well, the thing about it, that's just like people of the world. They want to do that, but they want you to come their way.
That's right. Yeah.
They won't come your way. Hey, they say, "I agree with you on this. Let's just agree on whatever." But they want you to come their way. And that's the way it is. And then, thank God there's some that will tell it. They'll tell it. They did hear it says in verse 14. Let me read it. I'm through. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and all hearken unto my words." Thank God there's a few that'll tell it. A few that'll tell it. Thank God for that. Then there's some will accept it. some will accept it. It says in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000. So what would you do, preacher? What would you do if one Sunday morning you preached and 3,000 souls got saved? I'd run all the way to Columbia. And I can't run to that door. But I believe I'd try it. Yes, sir. So thank God for those who do, those that receive it. Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. What a wonderful day it's been to be in your house. Thank you for Brother and Sister Caldwell. What good hosts they are. God, it's always such a joy to be in this church and these people. Now, Lord, I pray that you continue to bless in the remainder of this day. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.